All right, we are live. I didn't realize since 1980, Hank, this is the first time a Chicago Bull did not have a player represented in the All-Star game. Did you realize that?
No, that's wow. Who was before Michael? I'm trying to think who was before Michael. Was it I know it was the Artis Gilmore. Was he 80s
It could
maybe?
have possibly been because Michael was what, late 80s?
It was like mid 84 he came in, so I wonder who was before. It had to be Artis.
Yep. But man. And it's kind of crazy because I mean, Chicago got some names. You think about Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan. You know, availability has definitely been the reality of all this when we talk about Chicago this season.
And they're
But man.
right in the hunt. They're in the play-in. At 26, they done recovered. They're doing really well.
So I was definitely surprised at that. But you think they got a shot to make the play-in tournament
Definitely.
with
They're
this
playing
Eastern
well.
Conference?
They're playing well. They got talent. That's the whole thing. They have enough talent there. If you just look at the raw talent, they have enough talent to make the traditional top eight. They're number nine right now. They have
Right.
enough to make the top eight seeds traditional. If you look at the players that are on that team, but of course, it's about continuity and playing style, things of that nature, injuries. And Zach is out right now. They're playing better without Zach. You see what Kobe White play better. My boy Draymond, not Draymond, Andre. I keep calling him Draymond. Andre Drummond is playing like he back in Detroit. Them double doubles, career double doubles, and so they're looking a lot better cohesively. But what's his name? Vucevic is back. He's asking the team not to break it up. He asked for them not to break it up. He feels like they have a shot to put it all together, especially if Lonzo finally comes back, which he was supposed to do. And I don't know what's going on with that.
I just don't know who their true leader is, not even just on a basketball court, even from a coach's aspect. Like, I really feel like Chicago has not found that guy since Phil Jackson. No one really, established someone that they really could build a culture around. And I think until they find that head coach that they could truly have the players respect and believe in, Chicago's always going to have that roller coaster type of season.
We can't forget about Tom. Tom Thibodeau did a great job there.
He did. He did with Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose,
What's his name? I got him in my head right now.
Joakim Noah.
Joakim Noah. Yeah.
Shout out to Tom Thibodeau doing this thing right now in New York.
Oh, yeah.
All right, people, episode 187. We are in the building. Welcome back, y'all. You are now rocking with the best. This is the best of seven sports talk. I am your host, as always, Seven Mitchell. I'm in the building, man, from Sports Game Vision. We got the founder, Hank, in the building joining me. We got a classic episode, and y'all know how we coming for the NBA community. All-Star Weekend. Let's get this show started, boys and girls. Here come that intro. My God, we are back, brothers and sisters. Episode 187 of the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Appreciate you guys locking in. All-Star Weekend. We got so much to talk about. Hank, appreciate you joining me this afternoon. G, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. Just getting ready for these All-Star festivities to keep on continuing.
Man, we got a lot of action. Last night we had the NBA celebrity game, we had the Rising Stars game. Tonight we got a couple of well-known events, slam dunk contest, three-point contest. We got Steph versus Sabrina tonight. We got the All-Star game itself tomorrow. So we are locked in, fully on deck. Shout out to the state of Indiana holding it down for All-Star weekend, man.
Midwest,
let's get it. Yeah, it's going down, man. You're definitely doing your thing. I gotta show some respect, man. Let's talk about what's going on in the National Basketball Association before we kind of start today's show. Now, I'm looking on social media. Let me see if I can pull this up, G, because this was kind of interesting to me. I wanted to get your thoughts about this. Chet Holmgren from the OKC Thunder. He thinks NBA players, or the NBA players with the four highest verticals, should have to participate in the NBA slam dunk.
No.
What's your thoughts, bro, on this requirement for NBA players to be in the slam contest? What do you think about requirements, period, to participate in these festivities?
No, it shouldn't be a requirement. You got to want people that want to do it. And then just because you got the highest vertical don't mean you're the best dunker. You might not have to be creative with your dunks. You just slam. I mean, of course, slamming hard is a great we like to see that visually, but you know, like Matt McClung, all those dunks he did last year were creative. Zach Levine's, Aaron Gordon, those are creative dunks. Vince Carter's was the creative dunks. You got to be creative in how you put it together. So, no, but I do think they need to give them more incentives to participate. And we know that starts financially.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think power dunks definitely can keep you in a contest. But at the end of the day, your creativeness, your wittiness, that's what wins you. That's what gets you over the hump, especially in a close slam dunk contest. Your creativity is what really will separate you, according to the judges. The incentive standpoint, definitely a big deal. But, I made a point yesterday that I don't always want to see the main faces of the league in some of these events, because the guys that are now participating, if it wasn't for these events, these guys are never going to have an opportunity to really make a name for themselves. If it wasn't for the slam dunk contest, with all due respect, I don't think the amount of people that know Matt McClung would really known him if it wasn't for that. So, if we would have put a bunch of faces that we already knew last year in the contest, people would not be able to get the opportunities and momentum that they've been able to get. So I think we got to take the good with the bad. I would like to see better execution in the slam dunk contest, but I don't think it has to be the best or the most athletic players to do it. Like you said, it's just all about creativity at the end of the day. So I agree with you. I disagree with Chet. It's just about the participation and you just wanting to go get it.
Yeah, and Matt McClung, he's known from the internet because he's a street baller as well. So that he's blown up on the social media. Right. It's just the NBA community didn't know him, so he gets that opportunity to show the NBA fans what he can do.
Yeah, he's been doing his thing, when it comes to just being recognized and separating yourself from some of your peers. He's done a good job. So shout out to Matt McClung. You think he's going to win the slam dunk contest tonight?
I do. I think he's going to have a clean sweep on that. I don't think anyone's going to be creative enough to beat him. And there's only enough power dunks you can do. We've seen so much of that, the Dominiques, the Sean Kemps, and those likes of that nature. Even what's his name? Play for the Clippers. Blake Griffin. Yeah, we've seen that. Even Dwight, the power is only going to take you so far, so you got to be creative after that. So I think he's going to be creative enough to get it, and he doesn't miss. That's a great thing. He pulls it off in the first try, so I think that's going to be big key for whoever's going to win this contest.
I don't know, man. I'm going with Jaylen Brown tonight from the Boston Celtics. I don't have a lot to really go off of. I just feel like we might see something different from Jaylen Brown that we're not used to seeing. So I'm predicting Jaylen to win the slam dunk contest tonight.
And just to I do like other people having opportunities, and I think there needs to be a way. But if we have absolute superstars that would partake in this, the ratings will go through the roof. Streaming will go through the roof. Socials will go through the roof. We're talking about if LeBron got in and if
Zion
got in and Ja Morant got in, you know what the NBA community would do? Who would be another third dunker that would be crazy to be in? Maybe Zwimby. You put all those guys together, come on. They would go nuts for this All-Star game. So the big names should do it. They should jump in, but also give the other guys the opportunity to jump in as well.
Word. All right, Hank, let's get into the show for this afternoon, man. Let's start this thing off right for the NBA community. Let's talk about point guards. I wish Cole was here because I would love to hear his breakdown. Shout out to Cole. Shout out to my guy BA as well from Get Your Bars Up Media. But top five point guards actively this season, because it seems like everybody only want to go by what we're witnessing now. We don't want to go off an overall body of work, which really disgusts me, Hank. Let me just let that be known. It really does. But respectfully, when it comes to the 2023-24 season, who's your top five point guards in the league right now, brother?
Well, it's kind of hard because I don't really consider a lot of these guys point guards anymore. They're just slated in that role because that's what they're it's a traditional. They don't really play point guard per se. But if I go off of the traditional name of it, some of the names that are, you know, known to be point guards, I'm probably not picking them. Off the top, I would say this season, I'm going to look right here on my chart. I'll go with Tyrese. I go with Trey. I go with Luka.
Wait a minute. Because I got to talk to the bosses. I'm not going to allow you to do this to me or the American public on my show back. I've not been live in 2 weeks. So let me document exactly how disrespectful you may or may not be in this list. So let me get this right. Who was your first?
Tyrese. Trey.
Wait a minute. Maybe I got to get a new microphone and headset. You're not ranking these 1 through 5, are you?
I'm just naming the five. I'm not ranking them in order. Just ranking five people that I believe are the best point guards in the league. Traditional position.
But I'm slow.
They may not be point guards, but they play like point guards.
Understood. I understand your guideline. What I'm confused about, and what maybe some of the NBA community may be confused about, is that you're saying Tyrese Halliburton's name first. So I just want to be clear that you're not saying that he's ranked number one in your top five.
He could be.
Oh my God. Here we go. We're going to do this again?
He could be.
Didn't we have this conversation around IST time? Here we go.
He could be. He's the assist leader, and that's a big reason he's on my list. He's averaging over 11.7 assists a game.
Yeah, he's not the only point guard that's done that, though.
Number one this year in the league.
Shout out to Tyrese Halliburton. One hit wonder. Shout out to the one hit wonder.
Point guard. When you're putting your team above your scoring, or at least you're balancing it.
Yeah.
If you're not giving high assists, you're not going to make my list for point guard. So even like someone who I like Jalen Brunson, he's a little bit low on that. He doesn't average enough assists for me. Kyrie doesn't average enough assists for me to be a point guard.
All right, Hank. This is crazy. So you got Tyrese Halliburton. Who else you got for your top five active point guards right now in the NBA?
Trae Young. Who I know people would think that's crazy, but he's averaging double-digit assists. Luka Doncic.
Robbed of an all-star. You got Luka? Okay.
Luka. Who he really plays like a slow Bron. He's a slower version as far as his play style. He's ball dominant, but he sets guys up. I know you hate that take, but he does play like Bron a little bit.
You know, I wish you stopped doing that. I wish you stopped comparing Luka to LeBron James.
I know you hate that.
Let ESPN, let them fools do that. Don't do that.
He do.
Okay. All right.
Bron is better at it, but he's a new version of it, the new generation version. Gotcha. And the next guy on the list, Nikola Jokic.
And your top five point guards?
Yeah, he's a point guard, man. He handles the rock just as much as what's his name, D. Murray. But to me, he's the point guard, in my opinion. Just like Draymond is the point guard the way they were poor playing, he's the point guard in Golden State.
You know you're moving the goalpost with your list. Adding Jokic, you know you're moving the goalpost.
I'm telling you.
Not going to pick Jamal Murray. What position is Nikola Jokic listed in the game?
I'm telling you, I don't care about what they label it as.
You're going by the eye test.
How do they actually play on the court? Who's bringing the ball down? Who's setting up the offense? And who they're running that offense through? Because you got to bring the ball down the court. Now, there's another guy on this list I'm not going to put up there, so I know he's not bringing the ball up the court, and that's Sabonis. He's has a lot of assists, but I know he's not bringing the ball up. I'm going to put my guy and your guy on this list too, LeBron, who is averaging 8 point. Let me see. He's averaging assists per game, 7.8. I could put VanVleet over him, but I like, of course, LeBron is my guy. So Van Vliet is just underneath that, as far as if you want to put a sixth.
As an honorable mention. So you got Tyrese Halliburton, Trae Young, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, and LeBron James as your top five active point guards as your definition right now. Is that correct?
Traditional, yes.
All right, man, this is where the show begins because my man Hank definitely needs to be drug tested. I got to talk to the bosses. This list is unbelievable. I get it, though. I get it. Well, let me give you my five. You know, you were very disrespectful. And I don't understand it because you watched this game. You didn't even mention Steph Curry's name in your top five active point guards right now. Let's start there.
Where's he at on this list on assists?
Number one.
He's not.
I don't care about the assists. No,
he's not. That's traditional point guard. You've got to assist the ball. Where is he at? I don't see him nowhere near the top.
Come on, Hank.
Nowhere near the top. Where is Steph Curry's name? Steph Curry is 38th. He averages four assists a game. That's not a point guard.
Hold on a second. I'm not going to allow you to do this, Hank. You can't take you can use whatever formula you want to come up with to create your list, but you are trying to defy logic. Steph Curry is a point guard.
He's a guard.
He's
more of a shooting guard than a guard.
On paper, if you go to NBA.com, he's listed as a point guard.
Because of his height, that doesn't mean that he's actually a point guard. Just like Allen Iverson was listed as a point guard. Was he really a point guard? No.
As far as his play, no.
He was a shooting guard.
But his position was a point guard. You are trying to change the narrative, and you can't do that. You're trying to take style of play versus what's actually on paper. I'm going by what's on paper. On paper, Steph is a point guard. Klay was the two guard.
Let me preface this. I know that Steph can play the point guard position. I've seen him do it at Davidson. He's never been asked to play that way because of his scoring, his elite scoring ability and his ball handling ability. But he's not playing traditional point guard play.
This is ridiculous. BA, I'm about to send you the link. This is ridiculous. But I'm about to go with my five. I have Steph Curry, number one. Number two, Kyrie Irving. You didn't even mention Kyrie.
No, ridiculous. Too much.
Trae Young, I have number three. Jalen Brunson, who you had no respect for a minute ago, I have number
four. That's my guy.
And last but not least, I know he had a small sample size of games, but what I watched, I didn't see five guards better than Ja Morant. So Ja Morant is cracking my top five, even though the availability has been ridiculous.
Let me see where his point
you got is. You got Nikola Jokic and LeBron James and Luka over Kyrie.
Where's Kyrie's assists?
He almost doubles Kyrie in assists. I agree.
He didn't make the top 50 in assists.
Oh my God.
He's a guard. It's okay. He's an elite guard.
It's not okay.
He's not Kyrie a point Irving is, guard.
Kyrie Irving is a point guard. He's listed as a point guard. Why are you trying to change these guys' position just because of the way they play? That's not fair.
I do wish the league would change the point guard, the names, just name them guards. Two guards, two forwards in the center. Just name it that. We don't need power forward no more. We don't need shooting guard. Just name them two guards because traditional point guard, you're supposed to look out for your teammates first and then score.
If you guys are in the live chat right now, y'all need to drop your top five NBA point guards right now. I don't care what format you're using because obviously Hank has just thrown the rules out the window. We are now customizing it, doing it our own way.
You going by height. If I'm going by height,
If I go to NBA.com, ESPN.com, if I'm watching the game, when I'm going by the rosters, what position are these guys playing? You have a center, a power forward, a small forward, a shooting guard, and a point guard. All of my guys are positioned listed as point guards. You got centers, power forwards, small forwards. Like, come on, man. Really?
Who's bringing the ball up and who's assisting, setting up the players?
And I'm playing fair, Rich, because he has LeBron in his top five of active point guards this year, and I totally disagree with that. Now, here comes B.A. Now,
and that's only because I'm a fan, but...
You're a fan of who?
Bron. I got him in that top five because I'm a fan. Because I know they're taking some of the responsibilities away as far as, you know, having the usage rate, but he still, for his usage rate, still averages almost 8 assists a game, which is crazy.
Wait a minute. I'm confused. You're talking about the Sun?
The Sun? No, I'm talking about they taking some of LeBron's usage rate away as far as handling the ball.
Wait.
LeBron James.
I know you're not saying that you're a fan of LBJ Sr. Not you.
Yes. You know I am.
The disrespect you've been showing on Sports Games Vision?
No, I know disrespect. I know disrespect.
Oh, my God. Let me get BA up in here, man. This is unbelievable. Hold on.
Yo, y'all got me rolling.
Yo. I mean, really? I know I joined y'all for an hour yesterday, and I only got, 5 minutes to talk about LeBron?
There was more than that.
We got a good 30. We got a good 30. Yeah.
B.A.
We had more, but you had to leave.
That's true. Good afternoon, B.A. Welcome back to the Best of Seven Sports Talk. This is episode 187, and we are getting off to a pretty rocky start, thanks to Hank. And we are going through our top five point guards actively this year. I want to get your list for top five active point guards, but before I get yours, let me provide you with myself and Hank's, because Hank has Tyrese Halliburton, Trey Young, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, and LeBron James as his top five point guards for his own reasons.
The last two.
I have Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, Trey Young, Jalen Brunson, and Ja Morant, the true five best point guards in the NBA right now.
They're guards.
Here we go. B.A., where you at with this?
Shoot, man. It's no such thing as a point guard really anymore. Like all the guards are hybrid, right? But they're guards. So the LeBron and the Jokic, I don't know about them. I don't know if they belong in this. Because they're definitely not it. But for myself, like I said, as far as standard point guards, my listing is guards, but it's not that type of guard. It's not the traditional point guard. It's a point guard, but not traditional. Okay. I got Steph Curry. I got Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, which starts at the point guard for them. I got Luka Doncic. I got Jalen Brunson, and I got Tyrese Halliburton.
Yo, the fact that y'all put Luka over Kyrie Irving just will always blow my mind. Yo, I swear.
Kyrie don't average. No, he's not even on the list.
It's not even about average to me. It's Luka handles the ball a lot more from the point guard position than Kyrie. Kyrie usually gets the ball in half court and goes to work, where Luka's the one that's actually constructing and doing things.
That's because it's Luka's team. Are you going to sit up here and tell me that Luka's a better ball handler than Kyrie?
He's a better player. Seven.
Before LeBron got to Cleveland, what was Kyrie doing? Scoring. Yeah. He won't care about saying no
is Luka a better ball handler than Kyrie Irving?
As a point guard.
No, he's not.
Kyrie. Is he a better finisher than Kyrie Irving?
As a point guard.
That's actually debatable. That's debatable.
What?
That's debatable. He finished a lot at the rim.
All right.
But he's bigger. He's much bigger.
He's bigger. Kyrie's more creative, and he can play with you. Where of course, Luka doesn't have that same bag, but he's gonna get where he want to go.
Right. Yeah. Second or third most skilled for player ever to play the game to me is Kyrie. Top three.
Now you did mention a name, BA, that neither myself nor Hank had, and that it is a little bit disrespectful because he's having a crazy season, and that's Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Hank, why didn't you have Shea in your top five?
I like Shea, but again, to me, he's more of a scorer. If I'm going off traditional point guard, if I a guy that's trying to set up his team first,
okay,
that's why I got LeBron and I got Nicole up there. So since they're not guards, I will substitute those two. I'm going to put James Harden and Fred VanVleet.
Dame Lillard. Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, he's playing amazing. I do want to switch. I want to switch out a name. This might be controversial. I'm going to take Tyrese Halliburton off my list, and I'm going to put James Harden there.
Yeah, that's your guy. Yep, that's your guy.
I'm going to put James Harden over Tyrese Halliburton.
James, your guy.
Because he's doing his thing from the point guard position.
I had to apologize a few times on my show already. Like, I'm sorry, James. I'm sorry about what I said. I was jumping the fence too early.
Yeah. I got it. He, politics. Because he should have been an all-star this year, especially the way that he got his team playing. But politics, I understand it.
All right, let's get into our next topic here on the Best of Seven, episode 187. Make sure y'all smash that like button, subscribe to the platform. If you're new, let's get into this one time, fellas. Man. NBA All-Star Weekend, we here. We might as well jump into this topic. We got some festivities went down last night. We had Team Shannon versus Team Stephen A. Smith. We had Shannon Sharp team getting a W over Stephen A. Smith. Did y'all catch the celebrity game last night at all? I know we was kind of doing a show.
I caught two things. I caught Michael Parsons. Shout out to my Dallas Cowboys. He got that MVP. And I caught CJ Stroud after the game. Y'all know where that's going to go.
Yeah, I seen the most of that second half. They ended strong to Shannon Sharp's team.
Yo, Shannon is blowing up, bro. Shannon is really, like, he is really blowing up. I saw Skip Bayless got his stomach got to be hurting right now. I said that last night. His stomach got to be hurting to see Shannon evolve so much. I saw Lil Wayne over there on Stephen A. Smith's side. I said, oh, no, Skip is going to lose some sleep tonight.
Did you see 50 Cent over there?
I saw 50 over there. That's a fact. Yep. It was lit, man. Shannon doing his thing.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Shannon Sharp, man. He finally decided to join the Illuminati. So salute to him.
That's what it seemed like, bro. It seemed like this overnight success. You know, not that he hasn't worked hard, but to be in the positions that he got, like back-to-back.
Yeah, man. He got initiated. Cat Williams initiated him.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. He had Monique. Now, let me ask y'all this, since we're talking about Shannon Sharp, before we get into what else happened last night in the All-Star festivities. Charleston White call Shannon Sharp out for an invite. And when I heard Charleston White ask to be on Shay Shay, Club Shay Shay, I immediately said to myself, that's the real test right there. Will Shannon Sharp invite Charleston White onto the show? Like, that is going to really define how real Shannon Sharp is to me. Now, he says he's the proprietor. He owns Club Shay Shay. So this is not like a ESPN, Fox saying maybe Charleston White is a little bit too much for our network. We don't want to do it. This is supposed to be Shannon Sharp's baby. Do y'all think that he will invite Charleston White on?
I don't see that. It don't fit the brand.
I want to see that.
It'll be box office, bro.
I want to see it, White. But I don't think he's going to do it.
Did y'all see Cam Newton, right? Did y'all see Cam Newton's Freaky Friday interview with Charleston?
Yep.
Yeah, was getting a certain amount of numbers. Yeah. And then Charleston get up there and go crazy. And Cam, like Freaky Friday all over the place, millions and millions of views. If Shay Shay, this is a different demographic now. If he's trying to be on his Oprah, like he trying to search to be in today's time, he better get Charleston White up there. He better stop playing.
There was a big time interview that Joe Rogan did that was like the highest interview for like the last 4 years. This Cat Williams Shannon Sharp interview just surpassed it. I think Shannon Sharp has the highest viewed interview right now for on YouTube the internet. History.
It's so The highest was 53 or 54 million with Joe Rogan, right? And it was him. I think it was the scientist guy or what. Yes. And it took 4 years to get to 54 million though. Shay Shay in a month and some change surpassed that. And he was at, I think he's at like 60, if I'm not, it's like ridiculous. Oh, 60.
Not including the clips and the segments that was chopped up.
Exactly.
And then you follow up with Monique, who had another interesting interview. I think the Charleston White would be a hit. And for the simple fact that Shannon Sharp has always claimed for this platform to be his own, if he declines to interview Charleston White, I'm looking at Shannon Sharp a little bit funny. I'm not going to lie. Why would you not give Charleston White a platform?
So,
yeah, I don't know if he's ever had anyone on his platform like that. It's mainly been like celebrities. I know he's done his thing through social.
Charleston is not a celebrity.
Yeah, he is now, but I mean, you know what I mean? Guys that come through the traditional way. I don't think he's had so many people that have come through the, I know he's probably had some that's come through the other.
He had Desi Banks and a few other ones.
Yeah,
that are not like up there. But I will say this, it depends on if Charleston White gets on that platform, it's going to blow Charleston White up too. It's going to take Charleston White to a new stratosphere. So it depends on that as well. Is Shannon Sharp willing to say, here you go. I'm gonna take you to another level. Let's go. It depends on that as well, because you got gatekeepers, et cetera. And remember, you got Apple and other things behind Shannon Sharp, Club Shay Shay as well.
It's no longer a picture with Tim Cook, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's bogus. Everything that y'all saying, even if it's factual, I think that's bogus. Because again, we're talking about a guy who says he owns his own platform. And if you were trying to convince me that Charleston White doesn't know how to act, that's one conversation. I have watched Charleston White on numerous occasions hold and conduct very mature interviews.
Even though you might own your platform, those sponsors have you by the threads too. You're never totally free. So that's something like Kevin Hart's going through. All those sponsorships, if you say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, they're going to take them plugs away from you. And I think that's what Shannon Sharp is going to worry about as well.
Again, two things can be true. Are you going to sit up here and tell me and tell the American public that Shannon Sharp needs sponsor money?
I'm sure he wants the millions of dollars in his pocket. I'm sure he do. You know, I mean,
you got DraftKings and all of that stuff too.
So you're convinced that all of these guys, all of these sponsors would drop him for having Charleston White on the show.
I don't think
it was okay for Cat Williams to do what he did.
Yeah,
it don't make no sense to me, because Charleston White has been proven to give mature, filtered interviews. Charleston White doesn't always get on interviews and go crazy like that. I think he understands and identifies every platform he touches. I think Charleston would make it a classic for both of them.
We're not doing a seven. We're not going to compare Charleston White to Cat Williams.
Why not?
Because Cat Williams is well articulate and he's well mannered. Charleston.
Nobody White, cared about the articulate of Cat. Oh, it was all about what Cat was saying.
Yeah, but that's what. But the way he said it though was, it wasn't just what he said. It's the way that he said it. He was very articulate, explaining and breaking down things. Charleston White can do that, but Charleston White gets belligerent where he starts saying, like, you know, he starts talking about, I can't even say it on here, bro. That's how crazy, like, he be talking about babies. He be talking about women. Like, he be talking about what he'll do to them and what he'll do to people of other races. Like, he goes in like that.
And he turns it on out of nowhere. Even Cam, I did watch some of that interview. Cam, like, this is totally different than what we did when we were sitting down before the cameras.
But Shannon Sharp, I still do want to see Charleston White, but if Shannon Sharp can get in that bag of where he has to say, no, we're not doing this, or no, we can't talk about that, or say, like, he has to kind of be combative in that conversation in order to make it work. He can't just sit back and be like, oh, that's what it is. Oh, shoot. You think he has to show some type of combative sense.
But that's not what Shannon Sharp do though. And I don't think that that's fair because he didn't do that to nobody else. That's one thing about being on Club Shay Shay, and that's one thing that he highlighted. He allowed these people to come on. He don't go back and forth with them. He said he allowed the public to debate. He said he don't try to fact check anything.
Yeah, but that's because ain't nobody up there. Everybody up there is talking about somebody else subjectively, right?
Yeah.
They're not talking about what they'll do to women and what they'll do to babies and F this race and all that. They not up there talking like that, respectfully.
And can like Cat Williams, man, he's still plugged in the industry. It's not like he's totally canceled. He's got a lot of connections still around that, you know, want to see him win.
Got you. I respect it. Getting back to last night's All-Star festivities, we had the Rising Star game. Did y'all fellas get a chance to see the Rising Star game? If y'all did, what do y'all think about that 4-team format? And what do y'all think about just the actual play of basketball that we saw last night, as far as from a competition standpoint?
From what I saw, it was pretty competitive. There was some lapse in defense still. But, you know.
My God.
I don't think it's as big of a lapse as it's going to be in this All-Star game, though. But it's still some lapses.
Man, it was the I said this last year, because last year set this whole thing off. It's a fire format. That format is fire. And then to go and highlight the D-League players too, and sprinkle them in there, and let them get run, and let the world see them. Because some of them got game and they just hasn't made it. To me, that's dope, bro. And the coaches, to have like the ex-NBA players and things of that nature be coached. Jalen Rose, that was fire. Like the speeches and stuff was fire, bro. Like I ain't gonna lie, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all the games.
I didn't like the basketball court. All that extra stuff on the basketball court was terrible and ridiculous. The color schemes was just pathetic to me. I know Hank had mentioned that he liked it. It was just entirely too much for me. You know, I agree with you guys. There was a lack of defense at a point, but you know, those guys, you know, like BA said, to have these G Leaguers be able to show, you know, on the biggest stage for once is always a good thing, and some of those guys capitalize. I am super surprised to see the number one and number two overall draft pick in this year's draft get eliminated in the first round. We had Wimby go out in the first round with Team Powell, and then we had Scoot Henderson go out in the first round with our team. I think it was Team Tamika Scoot might have played for.
Yeah, Scoot, he got a lot of work to do.
You think so, yeah?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry about that. Cut you off.
No, you good. You good. That's all I had to say. You got a lot of work to do.
Not saying he's got a great coach as far who's a great point guard. He's going in the Hall of Fame, by the way. Shout out to Chauncey Billups. Congratulations.
Here you go.
You see Hank's face? Hey.
Yeah, he always got to put this extra sauce on this Detroit. He's terrible, bro.
He got a Hall of Fame coach to teach him. So,
damn.
Hopefully we can help him get to that next level.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Did you just call Chauncey Billups a Hall of Fame coach?
He's a Hall of Fame player.
But I thought you said Hall of Fame coach. I just want to be clear again.
He's not a Hall of Fame coach right now. You trying to change the goal. You know what I meant.
Listen, I'm just trying to be clear for my audience. You get away with that stuff on your channel. I just want to make sure that you did not mean what you said. And I heard you say Chauncey Billups is a Hall of Fame coach.
They get the coach. So now he can help teach Scoot how to be a point guard.
And then you say he's a Hall of Fame player. Can we have that conversation real quick?
He just got elected. He's a finalist.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
He didn't get it. He's a nominee. He hasn't been inducted, correct?
Not inducted yet. He's one of the finalists. Him
first ballot. He ain't no first ballot.
Ain't this his second or third time I'm up there?
Oh, really?
I think it's a second. But yeah, because they tried to get him in the mix. I think it was last year or the year before, but he didn't. He didn't make it.
Yeah, you know, I root for him to get in.
Of course, Detroit basketball.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have the graphs up, unfortunately. I do apologize. I'm not sure if y'all know who the participants are for tonight's slam dunk contest and three-point contest.
If you guys happen to do y'all have any favorites for tonight's events?
Some of the participants?
Yeah, because I'm going with Jaylen Brown to win the slam dunk contest, and I'm going with Damian Lillard to win the three-point contest tonight.
So I can tell you the dunk contest participants is Matt McClung, Jaime Jaquez Jr., Jaylen Brown, and Jacob Toppin, which is Obi Toppin's brother. And for your three-point contest, we got Cat, Trae Young, Tyrese Halliburton, Damian Lillard, Malik Beasley, Jalen Brunson, Lauri Markkanen, and Donovan Mitchell.
I'm sticking to mine. I'm going with Dame, and I'm going with Jaylen Brown.
I got Matt McClung going back to back, and I'm gonna go ahead and pick Cat again
because
it's so easy for him to shoot it. He won last year, so he might win again.
Yeah, Dame.
Yeah, Dame is not a bad pick, but Dame, I'm mad at Dame right now.
You should be. You really should be. Yo. Damn. All right. So those are our predictions for tonight. And I guess last but not least, tomorrow's All-Star game, Eastern Conference versus Western Conference. They're going back to that format. Who y'all got winning tomorrow? I feel like it's a clear W for the Western Conference. I think they just got too much firepower. What about you, fellas, winning tomorrow?
You made my mind up for me on my show. Yeah. Who's the coach of the East? Doc. So, yeah, it's all
Doc Rivers.
It's automatic L. The West is going to win, so I'm rolling with the West.
Yeah, Embiid is not playing either. So, my God. I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to say East, just to go against the grain.
Really? Rich, I'm looking at Rich's comments. Rich, there's a reason Kevin Johnson's not in the Hall of Fame. You got to look that up. It's not that he don't deserve to be in there. It's a reason he's not in.
Yeah.
Because he's a nasty, nasty man. That's why.
Let's just say what Josh Giddey got in trouble for. He was accused of way worse.
Yeah. It's a lot of these former players that were really great that are not going to be in there for a minute.
All right, fellas, let's jump to the next topic. Now that we are pretty much in the second half of this season, we are at the All-Star break. I did want to get your guys' NBA Finals predictions. Have they switched up since the beginning of the year? Who do you guys now have in the NBA Finals representing the Eastern and the Western Conference? Hank, I'll start off with you.
I go off the look at the records. And who all year been doing it has been Boston and Minnesota. So that will be my first pick, the logical pick as far as records are concerned. If I go off of what happened last year, I would say probably Boston versus Denver.
I really got to talk to the bosses. Hank, you know that there's nothing logical about Minnesota being in the NBA Finals. You know this better than anybody. You know this deep down inside. You know the Timberwolves don't have no chance of representing the West. You sure that's what you're sticking with?
For as of right now, I'm not saying that I believe that they're going to
do it. You can't switch it up no more. The next break is the playoffs. We at the All-Star break. We're halfway in. I want to get a refresher from what you were saying at the beginning of the season. So I'm not. You can't pick in the playoffs who's going to the finals.
Before the playoffs.
So we're going to do this again the playoffs.
That's not no. And I could pick who I want before the playoffs start.
So wait a minute, because you're creating a whole new environment right now for me. So I just want to get comfortable. So before the playoffs, we should again be able to decide who's going to win the finals. Disregard
because the information changes. The information changes.
Who shouldn't have changed your pick?
Yeah,
that shouldn't change.
Yes, it should.
Yo, you talk about moving the goalposts.
If you put your money, you don't mention that phrase. You don't go off of that.
I would want to go off of our comment today because we done had the trade deadline is passed. So all really is going to happen now. We might get some minimums being signed, but we pretty much know who's locked into the rest of the season.
if we were to give predictions today, I don't think we should be able to give predictions no more.
No.
The teams ain't going to change.
Information changes. Injury change.
You do got those teams that go like Cleveland, like they go 17.
Hey, last year, the Lakers, who would have thought they would even make the playoffs?
That's a fact. You do got those too. After the post All-Star game, your LA Lakers, bro. Oh my gosh. They went
the Miami Heat. They weren't looking like they were gonna make the playoffs either. Look what happened.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The information changes. That's not a bad thing, though. It gives it more unpredictability.
What you want to do is go by the information changing. I don't care about the information. We're talking about your bet, your prediction. Your prediction and the information is two different things. Your prediction should not change. You should be standing on business, whether the information changes or not. That's the whole point.
If you put $1 million down and you found out Joel Embiid got injured, you're going to change that damn pick.
No, it's not fair. If I was able to, I gotta live with that.
That was another thing.
I don't understand about $1 million
bet, and I know Joel Embiid is out. No.
I'm not making the bet. But if I bet already and then Embiid gets hurt, I can't pull that bet. That ain't fair.
You got time to pull the bet.
You got to go down with your ship. That's like B.A. So B.A. should be able to pull out of his bet with me?
Yeah, because Doc Rivers is the coach. He's the head coach.
There's certain bets where y'all made a pact. That's different. Like, this is what we're sticking with for the whole year. That's different.
That's nasty word, bro.
That's nasty different.
Okay, my guy said it's a pack.
It's a pack.
Yeah.
So Hank got Minnesota and Boston in the NBA Finals this season. What about you, BA? Who's representing the East and the West this season?
Clippers and the Bucks. I'm not switching up on that. I'm gonna maintain Clippers and the Bucks. Even though I'm trying to tell you, I still see the Timberwolves. I know they're not proven yet, but they look scary, bro. They look scary.
The Timberwolves look scary.
They look scary, bro. I'm telling you, defensively, they look
crazy. Y'all forgot that the NBA playoffs is a 7-game series, right?
And 84 Jordan.
I can't believe she said that to him too. I can't believe she said that.
Rich Banks said, do I believe the Lakers are coming out of West with a whole bunch of laughing emojis? This is what I don't understand about you, Banks. What is the laughing emojis for? Let's start there. Ron and the Lakers coming out of the West, absolutely. This NBA Finals is the road to title 18. I've been yelling this since the offseason. It's going to be the Lakers and the Celtics in the NBA Finals for the 18th banner. LeBron is going to get his fifth ring in LA, and all the Kobe fans are going to be sick to their stomach in
the corpse of David Stern would love that Finals. Well, he wants that Finals.
You, David Stern? Or Adam Silver?
Yeah, he'd won Lakers versus Celtics from the Finals. He'd love to have that Finals.
You mean Adam Silver?
I said the corpse of David Stern. He would try to cheat to get that Finals in any way.
I don't know about Adam.
We'll see. He does like LeBron a lot, so we'll see if he'll pull some strings.
Gotcha. All right, let's get into the next topic here at the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Once again, gang, if you guys are new to the platform, make sure you guys subscribe to the channel. I am now live streaming on Facebook as well as Twitter. So if you guys are checking out the stream on those platforms, salute to you guys. Happy All-Star Weekend. Make sure that you guys follow myself, my brother Hank, and BA from Get Your Bars Up Media everywhere on social media. Y'all already know how we do. Fellas, next topic. Which NBA father-son duo was better? Let's run it down. B.A., Dell and Steph Curry, or Joe and Kobe Bryant?
Joe and Kobe.
You going with Joe and Kobe?
Yeah.
What about you, Hank? Joe and Kobe Bryant or Dell and Steph Curry?
I really didn't see Joe play like that, but I know he's still about Kobe height, right?
Yeah, I think he's taller. He actually a little taller.
He was they like say six, he played. He was six, a slasher, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was about 6'8".
Yeah, six, I think seven, that makes a difference. I think it would go with Bean and what they call his dad? What was his nickname?
Joe.
Bean. That's what. Yeah.
Bean. Joe Jelly Bean. Jelly Bean.
Yeah, Jelly Bean.
He was Jelly Bean because Kobe was Bean. So
yeah,
I would go with them.
Y'all going with Joe and Kobe? Yeah, I agree. I think Joe and Kobe over Dell and Steph. Hank, what about Brent and Rick Barry?
Okay.
Or Bill and Luke Walton?
I think that's easy. That's easy work.
I probably would go with Barry, to be honest with you. I think they would outshoot him.
Over the Waltons, really? What about you, BA?
It's the Berries, bro. It's not even close. And it's only not close because when you talk about Bill Walton, he got hurt. He dominated, but he was only dominant for like three, four years. And his son never was really that good, but he was blessed to be on the Lakers with Kobe to win championships. Brent and Rick, they both were really good at one time. Even the son,
Rick was a Hall of Fame great.
Yeah.
Rick, and he's talking his mess, saying what he would do in this generation.
yeah. And we the know
Walton Brent, are winners. The Walton are winners.
I mean,
are the Barry winners?
Yeah. Brent won four championships with San Antonio.
And yeah, San Antonio and Ricky won one with the Warriors, right?
Yeah, he won one with the Warriors in the 70s.
Role players.
Rick was a superstar.
He was a superstar.
Hold on. What team was Rick Barry ever a superstar that won a championship?
The Warriors.
What Warriors team?
You talking about father, right?
I don't know where. Yeah, Rick is the father. I don't know where the Warriors were at the time. I don't know if they were in Golden State or wherever, but he was
Golden State or San Francisco, one wherever they was at. Yeah,
wherever the Golden State franchise was, he was a star, bro. He was a star. What about
Brent? Steph Curry is just breaking some of his records with why he's been there.
So what about Brent? What about Brent?
Brent cancels out. He cancels out Luke Walton because
no, he don't. Luke got two rings.
But Luke didn't really play like that. Brent was playing with
San Antonio. Y'all want to disrespect Luke Walton minutes. Now y'all want to disrespect because it's minutes. Because you got Kobe Bryant hawking up everything.
And then he was one of the only Caucasians to win that dunking contest too.
Yep, I remember that. Didn't he wear his warm up just like Kobe?
Exactly, from the free throw line.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Walton.
Yeah.
And don't throw his brother in there, Piston. That's another brother. Yeah, son.
Shout out to Rich Banks. Rick Barry is the second best Warrior to ever play.
He was great, man. He was a great player. Great.
He's Hall of Famer. He's Hall of Famer.
I got one more father-son duo comparison for you all. B.A. Gary Payton and Gary Payton the second, or Tim Hardaway and Tim Hardaway Jr.?
Ooh. I think it's easy though.
Ooh. Really?
I'm going Tim Hardaway.
Yep, that's what I'm saying, Tim. Because the Sun is better than to me overall.
Yeah, that's the difference. Is the Suns? The Suns cancel. He canceled the other one. That it's just over with. Tim Hardaway, isn't he got nominated this year, right? As a finalist,
I believe so. Is he not? We know why he's not in.
Of course,
we know why he's not.
We know he should be. We know he should be. Yeah.
You're telling me that Tim Hardaway offensively is better than Gary Payton defensively in their primes?
I don't think Gary Payton ever locked him up.
You're saying duo. We're talking about duos. Like if we talk about Gary Payton the second and we compare him to Tim Hardaway Jr., there's no compare. Tim Hardaway Jr. is way better. We're not doing this.
Gary Payton II is a champion. Are you kidding me? He's an NBA champion. Is Tim Hardaway Jr. an NBA champion? No. Have some respect, bro.
You acting like Sister Patty got a championship. They better. So just because they got a ring, they better?
Hey, that's a matchup. That's a matchup that cancels each other out. Gary's gonna play great defense, but Tim's offense is elite. You're not stopping him. Sorry.
Gary Payton's offense.
Gary Payton is not stopping. He's not stopping Tim Hardaway. He's not
what?
He will cross him over. You know he will.
I like
the prime Tim Hardaway.
Come on. The UTEP two step. In Lakers versus Celtics on Sega Genesis, I used to run with him, Mitch Richmond, Chris Mullin. I used to go. That was my go-to guy. But for you to sit up there and say he would get the work to Gary Payton,
he got a guy
who had the clamps on Michael Jordan.
He low-key got two Hall of Fame careers, by the way, too.
Tim?
Yeah.
How? Miami?
Miami, yeah. And run TMC.
Did he win the finals in Miami?
What year did he get in, Rich? Rich.
It also was last year, so he got in last year. Yeah, I knew he either is up or something like that because they tried to keep
him. They was blocking him for a while.
Yeah. Look at Seven over there. It's like, let me recalibrate
my research. I'm doing my research.
Let me recalibrate.
I'm going with the Paytons, man. All right. Y'all let us know live chat. What y'all think about those father-son duos? Tim?
Yeah, he just missed it with the – if he got to stay a little bit longer, Mavericks. Probably deal with the 06 team.
Oh, you talking about senior, Tim Senior?
Yeah. Senior. Yeah.
So Tim Senior don't have no rings. He didn't get the one with Miami?
Nah. That was Gary Payton.
Yeah.
So then it's a wash. It's a wash. Took his spot and got the ring. And the son got a ring. Yeah. Stop it. Yeah. All right, fellas. Let's get into our next topic. Which NBA Finals teams will win if they had to face each other? Which of these NBA Finals teams will win? LeBron James 2016 Cavaliers team versus LeBron James 2020 Lakers team. B.A., who you think will win that matchup in a 7-game series?
Bro, ain't nobody beating that Lakers team was crazy to me, bro. That Lakers team was crazy. It was full of Hall of Famers. A future Hall of Famer, should I say. Like, bro, that Lakers team in 2020, oh my God. Mm-hmm. All that length. I'm going down.
JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard. Bro, Rajon Rondo, LeBron, AD,
Caldwell Pope,
Danny Green, Alex Caruso,
Danny Green.
We missing some guys. What's the name? Ariza on that team?
What's the dude's name?
I think he came after that.
Horton. Is his name Horton?
Tucker.
And what's my man name too? He got on. Oh, J.R. Smith and what you call it? My man played in Cleveland.
J.R. Smith was on that squad. How you was?
Yep. What's my man name for Cleveland? They traded before Brian got back there. Playing with Kyrie. When in Miami started doing this thing, he trying to come back too.
I can't remember his name. I think I know who you're talking about. But getting back to the point, though,
Lakers. What about you, Hank? LeBron's 2016 Cavs or LeBron's 2020 Lakers?
I like the 16 Cavs, though.
Salute to them.
Kyrie and LeBron.
I like that.
I mean, you got J.R. Smith on that team as well. I mean, you're comparing the LeBrons, you're comparing the J.R. Smiths, you're looking at Kyrie's production versus AD production.
Yeah, I'm rolling with the Cavs. Even though I like that 2020 roster, I'm going with the Cavs team. 2016.
They both face adversity. One coming down from 3-1. Another one, pandemic, Kobe losing his life. I'm going with the 2016 Cavs because when he won it, I felt like he was the GOAT. So I'm going with that one.
Dion Waiters. I forgot he did slide through and got him one real quick. Shout out to Dion Waiters.
Which of these NBA Finals teams, fellas, would win between Kawhi's 2019 Toronto Raptors or Kawhi Leonard's 2014 San Antonio Spurs?
Spurs, hands down, to me.
Which year to San Antonio?
2014.
Which year was that? That the year they beat Bron?
The second time. Yeah, they beat
after they lost. That was one of the best teams that I've seen. Like, cohesively?
Yeah.
They were hungry. They were upset they lost to Bron. They came out. You know how they play. They set finals records on us. It's crazy. Plus, they cheated. They cut the heat off. You know? They cut the heat off and let them cramp up. I can't move. And, of course, all the players that played there knew how to play in heat. Because which call is from, like, Barbados and Tim Duncan, the Bahamas or whatever. All the other things. So, LeBron didn't know how to play in it. So.
It was different. It was different.
But yeah, that team was still a great Spurs. Team. I'll go with that Spurs over that 19. So I don't think the 19 team would have won if was healthy, or even if the Sixers. What is it? Who has made the final with them? Seven. Was it who's the team right before they got to the finals with Golden State?
Philly.
No. Who's here? James Harden's team? I think Houston could have beat them.
The Rockets.
Who's the team they played before them? The Rockets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one of these NBA teams, fellas, will win? Giannis Antetokounmpo's 2021 Milwaukee Bucks championship team or Nikola Jokic's 2023 Denver Nuggets championship team?
The Nuggets is too tough.
Nuggets.
They too tough. Sweet.
Clean sweep.
Yeah. Clean sweep?
I'm not going to say sweep.
I'm talking about as far as on the panel. I don't know about
unanimous vote. Unanimous. Yeah. It's unanimous.
Yeah. I don't know about so far between.
I don't know about unanimous vote. I'm thinking. I watch what Giannis do in that game seven versus Phoenix. That 50-point performance. Ain't nobody on Denver stopping that Giannis in 2021. Nobody, especially Nikola Jokic.
Who's stopping Murray? Who's stopping Jokic? Right.
He got barbecue chicken on there. He's playing against Aiden. Yeah, he's
here. Drew Holiday barbecue chicken. Eat barbecue chicken versus playoff NBA Finals Jamal Murray. He played.
And Jokic.
It's a real thing.
Jokic's going to be using shooting that crazy jump shot off one leg. Yeah. What are you going to do with that?
And you're going to get two good games from Michael Porter. You're going to get two of them.
Aaron Gordon going to be muscling people up.
A team that ain't going to have no chance of repeating this year. That's who y'all will go with. All right. I respect the Cinderella story.
It's hard to repeat in the West. Come on, it's the West.
Yeah. Last one for this topic. This is more of a collective. So you guys can take the best players from these experiences and let me know who will win the NBA Finals if these two teams would clash. Team Phil Jackson under the Bulls or Team Phil Jackson under the Lakers? If you take the best unit from Chicago under Phil Jackson versus the best unit collectively under Phil Jackson in Los Angeles, who will win in a seven-game series?
Man, we're talking about the 95-96 Bulls versus the 2000-2001 Lakers, who went 15-1 or 16-1 in the whole playoffs. That's a tough one, bro. That's tough, bro.
Chicago. I think it's Chicago all day,
bro.
I think they match offensively.
Did you see them? Did you see those Lakers? They only lost one, and it was because Iverson. Yeah. That's it. Iverson and the little
body. I mean, even though Jordan was at his apex, and I know Pippen can still produce offensively too, what they gonna do with Shaq?
Yeah,
and you know Kobe's gonna do his thing, and then you got Robert Horry to worry about.
Bro,
I don't know. I think the Lakers might get them.
Bro, I'm gonna go to Bulls. I'm gonna go to Bulls, and only because Dennis Rodman is going to disrupt some stuff. Tony Kukoc is gonna come off that bench and go crazy.
I know about Kukoc,
and then you got Ron Harper, was a defensive specialist who could score the ball.
Steve Kerr,
like I got to. Hey, Shaq and Kobe salute. But that 95-96 team, they didn't go 72-10 for nothing. Like them boys, they had to. Rodman was defensive player of the year that year. Jordan was MVP. Tony Kukoc was sixth man of the year that year. Like they was racking up awards individually. Bro, it was crazy. Right.
But what I would say is this, that's prime Shaq.
Yeah.
There's nothing Chicago was going to be able to do with Shaq. Nothing. All Rodman was going to be able to do was foul him.
Yeah.
He's going to foul Rodman out. That's going to be X factor right there. Nah, he'll probably average 40 in the series.
Bill Winnington. Luke Longley and Bill Winnington.
They ain't doing nothing. That's barbecue chicken. Barbecue chicken. They're going to put number fouls. There's going to be 18 fouls on Shaq. 18 fouls. So yeah. It's going to be up to Jordan and Pippen and Kukoc to finish that game up.
Yo, we had Jeb Bushler too. We had Jeb.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, fellas, I got two more topics. Appreciate you guys hanging in with me, man. Let's get into this LeBron James topic real quick. Top three reasons LeBron James will be leaving the Lakers this summer. This is all hypothetical, but if there were reasons that LeBron James would, in fact, depart from the Los Angeles Lakers this summer, what would it be? Let's come up with a couple reasons, fellas. Myself, I feel like the three reasons that I came up with was the future, his son specifically. What type of direction does he have for his son? Intent does he have for his son? What's the reality of the Lakers being in a position to even draft Bronny, depending on where he lands? So I think that's going to be a reason LeBron probably could leave. Also, Darvin Ham, I think, would be a second reason LeBron James will not stay this year. If they do not win the championship, even though you see growth in Darvin Ham, there was just ultimately too many bonehead mistakes that I saw LeBron James unhappy with from the head coach. And I think LeBron knows his days are numbered. I don't think he'll be willing to go into another season trying to build with Darvin Ham if he doesn't have to. And last but not least, the third reason I feel like LeBron is going to leave the Lakers, believe it or not, is Anthony Davis. As much as I feel like he loves Anthony Davis and some people feel like that's been his best teammate, LeBron knows deep down inside, and I think he's been known, that AD is never going to be the number one. He's never going to truly, substantially, for a substantial amount of time, be able to take over the keys. And I think that has disappointed LeBron, and it's just no point in sticking around. So those are my three reasons I feel like he's leaving this summer. What about y'all, fellas?
LeBron will never let anyone be a number one on any team he plays for. So I don't know why people be like, oh, he's supposed to, hey, the next step up. LeBron won't let that happen. No, of course not.
Okay.
He need the ball too much in his hands. Did you want to, well, I guess I'll go since I said that crazy statement. Everything that you just said, Seven, I agree. And another thing is I think he's just tired. I think he's just tired of the Lakers, just the atmosphere of the LA Lakers. I think he's just ready to go. I think that he's established everything that did everything that he wanted to do as far as off the court, financially, because now he's worth a billy. So I think that he's fulfilled his duties, and now he's like, man, I'm just waiting out my time. I know we're not going to win a championship. Our roster's not good enough. And now I've got my money. My family's taken care of. Now I'm just waiting on my son.
What about this quote-unquote Kobe shadow, B.A.? You know, going into this organization, LeBron could he had to know that he would never surpass Kobe Bryant as like a Laker, the greatest Laker, anything like that. He had to know that going into this situation. But do you feel like it has worn on him for these years that no matter what he does, he'll always be, you know, considered as what he is?
Yeah. When it comes to LeBron and Kobe per se, LeBron is the type that he is a competitor, and we've heard him say countless times, I want to be the best. I'm going to be the best ever. He's already looked at as that. But I think that he took on the challenge of going to LA, knowing that Kobe, he was going to be in Kobe's shadow. But I'm pretty sure in his sick mind, he thought that he was going to be able to overcome that. Because, of course, we didn't RIP to the Mamba, but we didn't see the Mamba passing away. Right. When LeBron got there. So LeBron in his mind was thinking, I'm going to take on this challenge and I'm going to get me two, maybe three rings with LA, and I can possibly surpass Kobe in that regards in the LA jersey, and it just didn't happen, unfortunately, for him.
Good point. What about you, Hank? What would be some reasons LeBron James will be leaving this summer from Los Angeles?
Number one, I think he just mentally, physically tired. He needs a break. That would be one reason. Number two would probably be his son. I think you mentioned that it would be, he don't want, he'd have to basically follow his son wherever he goes, or whatever reason he would need for his son. Maybe it's a health reason, anything like that. And then the third one would be the Lakers not really wanting him there, and he knows it. And he just kind of is like, hey, I got to get out of here and not decline this option and go somewhere else.
Wow. You start to listen to BA too much, because he's the one that's been singing that song.
LeBron James, LeBron James, LeBron James, LeBron James.
Hey, we forgot one caveat too. Viva Las Vegas. Yeah. Viva. Exactly. We talked about that last night.
Yeah. That's a fact. Well, we're gonna see how this thing play out, man, with LeBron James and the Lakers. I wouldn't be surprised if he was to take a year off. I don't see retirement, most definitely, but I don't think that he's prepared yet to be leaving Los Angeles. I think he'll, at the worst, sign a 1 year, 2 year deal. You know, LeBron has been famous for them small contracts. He's been doing it for the duration of his career for the most part. And I don't think Jeannie Buss will really go against the grain on that. You know, they got AD locked in for some years. So
can I ask y'all a question, man?
For sure.
Do y'all feel that LeBron James has been, does it look like, because we all see that he's frustrated. He's been showing that physically. But has the Lakers organization been disrespectful towards him the last few seasons?
Not buying into his demands, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason why that is, though. It's because of his age. That's the only reason why.
I think it's Kobe. No, Kobe, I've always said that Rob Pelinka will never allow LeBron to maximize how great he could be in Los Angeles. I said that from the jump as well, because of his relationship with Kobe.
That's a bar, Seven. That's a bar. He brought up Rob.
You might be right on that one.
Yeah, he's not going. I don't think Rob would sabotage the Lakers' success as a team. But you know, if LeBron said we need changes, it's like they will listen and make changes, but they may not take the names of the changes that LeBron want. Like, it seemed like that's what we've got. Like, they kind of appeased to him somewhat, but not in totality.
So you're saying he purposely got Westbrook knowing it wasn't going to work?
Who? Pelinka?
Yeah.
I believe Pelinka, that move was based off of LeBron's green light. But again, y'all keep downing that decision, which just blows my mind.
Everybody saw that when it was made. Like, that's
not. Yeah, before we knew that wasn't going to work. We all knew this already. If you
look who they had to potentially face, though, that's what I'm saying. You got KD, Kyrie, and James Harden in Brooklyn that year.
Yeah.
Which was expected to go to the finals. Los Angeles didn't have enough to even compete with that, with just LeBron and AD. You had to bring in a third star, MVP.
Go get Buddy Hield like you were supposed to. Bring in DeMar DeRozan like you were supposed to. They were supposed to keep KCP and Caruso. You bring back, what's his name, the center, McGee or whatever, and you fine.
Yeah. Hey, preach.
You say that, right? But all those guys that you named, Buddy Hield, none of those guys have done anything from that point till today.
They're still solid players on teams.
You have a former MVP, one of the superstars of the league, available. Like, how do you? I just don't see how
it doesn't match basketball wise,
bro. They both. This is like I keep saying. It's about LeBron James. LeBron James is. He will never. I don't care what superstar plays with him. If you're gonna be a superstar, you gotta be a superstar that plays off the ball, because he is just like Russell Westbrook. That's why their numbers look the way that they do, because they pack that ball and they need to actually dictate everything on the court. That's Russell Westbrook in a nutshell. We just now this year seeing Russell Westbrook take a step back from that, and he's being successful now.
Right, Buddy Hield can catch and shoot. Am I correct?
That's it. Facts. That's all.
Even DeMar DeRozan can catch and shoot.
Facts. And his mid range is on point. Super on point. Yeah. Something that the Lakers could definitely use. All right. Last topic here, episode 187, Best of Seven Sports Talk, last topic of the night. This was actually a topic, fellas, that we talked about on Hank's show yesterday, but I did want to get it documented as well on my platform. I know we discussed this. Klay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors. We watched footage of Klay kind of turn his shoulder at Steph Curry. We know all about the trade rumors and things of that nature. He just got benched, I believe, for the first time in his career. As a professional, he did produce well that night. But when you look at all the trade rumors and you see that interaction with him and Steph Curry, should Klay Thompson, fellas, feel backstabbed by Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors? I know y'all said yesterday it's all business, but I wanted to revisit that question today.
I know that he feels backstabbed. If you think about the fact that he feels like he should be paid, that's number one backstab. And then this going on the bench probably feels like a backstab. And also those rumors coming out about LeBron James, you know who was going to be in that deal. So he probably feels backstabbed about that. So those are three different ways he feels backstabbed by Steph and the organization.
So you feel like he should feel backstabbed, or he does feel backstabbed by both entities, both Steph and the team?
He probably feels both.
Do you have a problem with that? Do you feel like he's wrong if that hypothetically is true? You personally, do you feel like he has a point?
I think it depends on how everything's done. There's some obvious things like he probably, I hate to talk about people's money, but should he get max dollars at this point? You know, then as far as being a starter, should he be a starter? Should he come on the bench? Will he be more effective on the bench? You know, if those are conversations he's been having with them behind the scenes and he's not listening, then is it really a backstab and more of a power play in business?
Right. What about the Steph factor, though?
Same thing. Steph may have been having, I'm sure, well, we're thinking that possibly he's been having conversations with him over things behind the scenes. And if he's not listening, I know that Steph is a competitor too, and he probably wants to get one more championship because he could put himself in that GOAT room officially. And you voted, but you know, if he gets another championship, you already know what they're going to say. So
what they going to say?
Maximize. They're going to say he needs to be over Bron.
Who?
If he gets a fifth championship over Bron, you know they're going to say that. Am I wrong, B.A.?
No, you're not.
That's what I told you this
like months ago. If Steph Curry get one more, oh my gosh, and LeBron still get four.
Oh my god.
Hey, on LeBron's watch.
If he get that fifth one, that's why I want Bron to get the fifth one, but he gonna have to pull something out of his head.
Yeah, people gonna relook, they're gonna relook a bunch of things.
And he's older. So that's why you need to get number five, because Steph is going to be around a little bit longer to go get a fifth one.
Yeah. Let me get this straight. Y'all going to sit up here in my face and tell me if Steph Curry wins another title, we'll have a real conversation about him being over LeBron James?
Yep.
They're going to do it. It's going to happen. The conversation is going to happen.
It's already happening now because they both got four.
It's happening with who? Crackheads?
No.
Who is happening with? Because I'm trying to figure out who's having these fitting conversations. Curry. Yo, this is insane that y'all did that.
They both really? Top 10 players. They both are considered now. Like, more and more people are putting Steph as top 10.
That is LeBron. I got 10. Him pretty much in there. He rised up when he got that fourth one.
Yeah, and if he get a fifth one, oh my God, if LeBron stays at four, oh, it's going to be.
Hold on, B.A. Hold on for a second. Hank. What did you say if Steph wins the fourth one? What happens again?
I said when he won that fourth one and he got the finals MVP, he rose up to me. If he ain't in there, he's in that 10, he's right outside that door.
Knocking on how many rings right now? Four.
He's got four, he's got two NBA MVPs, and he's got a finals MVP.
Yeah.
So you're telling me if he wins one more NBA championship, you will put him in a conversation of LeBron James?
He's gonna be in that room for sure.
They're gonna consider him top five of all time. He's passing everybody and being number five or four or three or two. He's gonna be up there. I'm trying to tell you. You think it's a game. LeBron, right.
Don't let him go to the playoffs like he did, just dominating. It's really gonna be a conversation.
This is the most disrespectful take that I've had on my show all 2024. And I want to personally thank BA and Hank for bringing this madness to my platform this afternoon on All-Star Weekend, because I get to document it and I get to revisit this. This man, Steph Curry, is not even out of the conversation of who's the best point guard in history. He's still trying to fight that fight with Magic Johnson. But yeah, y'all will put him in a conversation of LeBron James because he has five rings.
Yeah,
so when three of his four, he wasn't even a Finals MVP.
But he contributed heavily to those.
Not in the final round, he didn't. He struggled in a couple of those finals.
No, he did. He only struggled in the ones he lost. The ones they won.
Steph Curry is the greatest guard ever.
Nah, he ain't better than
Magic. He's not better than Magic.
Better
than Magic. What about Magic accolades? What accolades does Steph got that Magic don't got?
Yeah, Magic can't shoot like him. So that's why I'm saying.
Magic got more rings. I'm talking about
Magic was a glorified role player his last whatever. Man, we ain't doing this. He was a glorified his last 4 years in the NBA was a glorified role player. We're not doing this, bro.
BA. Should Klay Thompson feel backstabbed by Steph Curry or the Warriors?
Of course he should. I want to say hell yeah. Hey, that's a fact, bro. I said, you know, we talked about this. I said it was business. But at the same time, even though it's business, hey, we got a friendship and we super close. And hey, you know, y'all ever heard of the story of Brutus and Caesar? How Brutus stabbed Caesar in the back. That's Steph Curry and Klay Thompson right now.
But Hank made an interesting point. You know, if there's something to separate or deciding factor in this whole story, Klay's production on the basketball court has been subpar. He's kind of made his own bid over these last couple years when we talk about the lack of productivity. He's had his moments of greatness, but overall, he has not played that well. And I feel like if he is asking or relying on Steph or someone to save him, he's asking for a big alley-oop. It's not necessarily deserved or warranted, because the way he's been playing consistently, he should be on the trading block, if you ask me. Because he was a part of something that they built so special, and they haven't built anything like that without him, I think it's tough to just get rid of him like that.
Yeah, this the one thing Gilbert brought up, and that's probably another reason why he's upset. Like, back in them early years of that formation, he was the guy covering up Steph's weaknesses with the defense.
Yes. And he was the one breaking the records.
Yep. So that's where I think he felt like more like all the stuff I did early on, I was being quiet. I wouldn't put myself in the best conversation when I know I did a lot more for that Splash Brother, that whatever they call him and Draymond and Steph together combination. He feels backstabbed by that.
Well, welcome to getting old and broke down.
Talk about it.
The same thing happened with players like Dwayne Wade, etc. I can go down a complete list of players who lost it. And if your team still has a potential chance to win and you are hindering them from doing it, we liable to get rid of you, or we're liable to bench you. And that is where that's my kickback to the stab in the back. You may feel that way, but I guarantee you, in 10 years from now, 15 years from now, when the situation dies down, players get even older and they start to go to the Hall of Fame, they're going to understand. He doesn't understand because he's still in the heat of the moment and done so much for the organization. But we've been paying you for what you've done. Now we're about to pay you for what you're doing now. We're not like you've been getting a bag. It's not like you weren't getting paid before and you were killing and now we got to make up. we got to make up how much we got to pay you. No, we've been paying you for your services and thank you for what you've done for the city. Now here's a chocolate candy bar. Here's a letter and the key to a half a key to the city. Thank you. And we'll see you later. We'll see you later when we do our Hall of Fame retirement thing. That's it.
Yep. And like they say also, it's an adjustment, which I think I understand. Guys being like pampered all this time, being the stars for all these years, being the starter, it's hard to adjust that role of being at the top and having to take less of a role. So I think that's an adjustment he has to make. I think Allen Iverson had to do it. Carmelo had to do it. It's a lot of players. I think I even heard Aldridge talk about it on his podcast before, having an adjustment of, hey, I'm not the guy anymore. I got to step back.
Bro, LeBron got everybody. This is one, bro, LeBron got everybody drinking this special juice, bro. It's only one LeBron. It's only one person that can go 20 some years and be dominant for real. It ain't too many people can do that. And LeBron got everybody in their 16th, 17th season, 13th, 14th, 15th, thinking that they should be this and that. No, that's rare. That's rare.
Yep. And his situation is totally different than everybody else.
Yeah, you got special.
He won. Had he not won, the Lakers wouldn't, no one would put up with it. The only team that would put up with it is if you stay with one team like Malone did, Stockton, they'll put up with your whatever you're doing. But beyond that, no.
Man, if I was Clay, I would go down to Miami with Jimmy Butler and them and go get some of that special juice. He'll be all right.
Let's get it. All right, fellas, this episode is officially in the books, man. Appreciate you guys so much for joining me this afternoon. Shout out to everybody in the NBA community. Another classic show. Thank you guys. BA, Hank, appreciate you, brothers, as always. Y'all guys, again, subscribe to the channel. Follow my brothers everywhere on social media. Get your bars up. Sports Game Vision. Make sure y'all check them out. Show some support. If you guys check out this video, make sure y'all hit that thumbs up so we can get this live broadcast around to the entire NBA community. Y'all stay safe. Enjoy All-Star Weekend. We got some things planned up, so make sure y'all just stay in tune into my community section, and I'll keep you guys in the loop of all the things we got going on this weekend. So make sure you guys stay safe. Subscribe to my channel, and also follow me on playback.tv. For all live NBA watch parties, I give out free VIPs. So if you guys want to kick it with us and watch some of the NBA games for free on League Pass, come through, get a free VIP. That's playback.tv/7Mitchell. I got you guys covered. Appreciate y'all as always. And we signing off. Peace.
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 This episode of the Best of 7 Sports Talk is sponsored by The Reflection Connection. For all your natural healthcare products, go to the Reflection Connection. That's connection with a K. All right, NBA fans, enjoy the show.
All right, man, I want to thank you guys for listening into another episode of the Best of 7 Sports Talk. I'm 7 Mitchell, man. Make sure you follow the show to be sure to be notified about the next episode. Also, I'll put the Linktree link in the description so you can follow us on social media as well as donate and contribute to our platform. See you guys again on the next episode. Peace.